See the way the young man was praying, in fact the young men were praying, and people were going under power. That is the manifestation of a spirit. There are many things that are not possible if a spirit is not involved. It has become true that many are asleep. And they said what is in vogue now is prayers. And people now come to prayer meetings and sleep. Imagine Peter, James and John are in a prayer meeting and they are sleeping. They were on the mountain, yes, but they were not in glory. That is why they can talk about encounters, but their life is not, you can't trace any of those encounters to their life. I've seen people that told me that they met Jesus, they encountered Jesus. Your life is not a proof that you met the man. Have you heard of people like Paul? Until the time that he finished his ministry, there was a testimony that he bore, that he encountered that one. In fact, he said, on this basis, I'm not disobedient to the heavenly calling. This is how we teach prayer. No matter how much you teach people about prayer, the only way to teach prayer is to pray. That is the only way to teach prayer. It is even when you start praying that you begin to ask, why is it that as I pray, this one happened or this one didn't happen? There are many questions we can't answer you because you have not started praying. When you start praying, we can now answer you. And you see men that appear in church and they have many questions. We can trace it to prayerlessness. Because most of your answers will be gotten when you give yourself to prayer. And there are certain words that scripture use concerning prayer. You must have heard in certain places, they said that prayer is made. So when you see my brother begin to talk about concussion, that is another word. To say something is made is you came to a factory and you manufactured it, you concocted it. That means there are many ingredients that make up prayer. Are you with me? It is only when you come to the factory that you will now understand the ingredients with which prayer is made. If you have never been in prayer meeting, you will never understand it. You can only read it in books. How many of you have done industrial training? You have done industrial training, yes. There are many things you read in book, you never know how it works until you find yourself inside the factory where they manufacture the things that you read many books about. It is then you will begin to apply it. Life application. Many days will come and circumstances will present themselves to you and you will know how to apply and what to apply, how to face it. There are things that will come before you. You will simply know that thing you are doing will not be able to conquer Satan. There was a man in South Korea, Yonggi Cho. He said he went to Japan to take Japan for Jesus. When he appeared in his hotel room, he said Satan appeared in the same room and said, I will not allow you to take Japan from me. He said he was speaking in tongues, and Satan said, laughed at him, sneered at him, and said, didn't you see your prayer is not doing anything to me? How many of you has happened to you? You are saying Holy Ghost fire and the thing is standing there. Huh? You are saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In fact, as you are saying Jesus, they now seize your voice. It has happened to you. Raise your hand now. That's what they did to the man. And he was saying in his heart, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. It was then that the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, you cannot defeat Satan with this type of prayer you are praying. Until suddenly he said that the Holy Spirit began to burn like fire in his heart. And when he roared outside, then Satan began to readjust. I thought it's just enough. Meanwhile, he has been praying before. What happened? I need to tell you that the things you learn, you can still think that it is still the same tongues. But you, your spirit, God and Satan, the cosmos knows that something has changed. Meanwhile, the syllable that we hear with our ear seems as if it's still the same thing. But in the spirit, there are encodings and possibilities that is now given to this realm of prayer. I thought everything is prayer. Why is it that the one you are praying, Satan is still oppressing you with it? Somebody is praying and the witch is still oppressing you. Some things are still there with your prayer. What you need is to increase the energy level. And then you'll be brought to a plane in the spirit where you begin to experience different and diverse depths in prayer. I will show us one of these days. I hope I will show us. There are seven depths in prayer. There are seven depths, but that's not where I'm going to today. You have to find yourself in those depths. And possibilities are locked up in those depths depending on what you are seeking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So some people can just come and they are praying and they just felt good people are around them. They felt it for 3 hours. They thought that is enough. That is all about prayer. What they didn't know is that there are spirit beings. There are beings that fell from heaven. And some of those beings are conversant with presence. Are you with me? When those beings that are conversant with presence, they face you in territorial warfare, that thing doesn't stop them from doing what they are doing. You can finish from a meeting where the presence of God is manifest and have accident and die. Because the beings that you interacted with, they are not afraid of the presence. Before they fell from their former estate, they were allowed permission to tread the coals of fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So those things don't move them. You have to change the warrior mode. Say the warrior mode. That's where Michael stood and he said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee." Yes. I'm telling you, you need to learn depths in prayer. And at varying depths, there are facilities, infrastructure, angels that are attendant to those sort of prayers. Are you with me? See, Daniel prayed a certain kind of prayer and he received a ministration from an angel. But that angel came to a point before he will be able to deliver the message, he has to pass through warfare. And that particular prayer that he was praying was not enough to support warfare. So the angel hung. The scripture said that he stayed there for how many days? 21 good days. He was hindered from bringing a vital information that will liberate the people of God until the scripture spoke that the man Daniel continued what? Continue praying. He said, remember, the response that he needed, one day prayer was enough. Is it not true? The scripture said that as he began to pray, when you began praying, what happened? But 21 days I was held up in warfare. You are not getting what I'm saying. I'm saying that some of the prayers you pray, some of the things you need to prosecute, some of the things we need in life and destiny, God has answered it. The thing is that you need to war to receive the manifestation of those answers. So sometimes when you look at, you see yourself in visions and you are supposed to stay in certain place. Have you seen yourself? And you see the things that God has given that in this season should be manifest in your life. Then you look at your life in the physical and it's far removed from your identity in the spirit and the things that God has released for you. What is the mode you should take in prayer? Warrior mode. Because as you prayed, God answered you. Are you getting my... As you prayed, God answered. What is now stopping it from manifesting? You need to know that Satan is a rebel. And until you take up the warrior mode, you will not break out from his hands. The things that is yours, that he held bound. The things that is the body. The things that is given to the body of Christ in this season. The dominion that is given to us. The authority that is given to us. The kingdom, the territories that God has willed to us to conquer and administrate. We are not yet seeing ourselves there because we have not taken back our warrior mode. These things will last for long. until men begin to enter into depth in prayer. You must be skilled. These are not the things, no matter how much they teach it in books, you will never learn it until you begin to pray. Even you will know that the depth you were praying last 2 months, is it where you are now? That means you have entered many depths in prayer. And you know that there are many things that we are not, that Satan was doing in your life that he can't do now. Is it not true? Why is he not doing it? You need to know that these are possibilities in depths in prayer. And when you enter there, certain things that used to be devil your life, they will stop. Certain demons will stop. You will also notice that certain oppressions of darkness still persisted. Is it not true? If some dropped at this energy level, that goes to show you that if you increase the energy level, others will what? They will drop. That is why if God intends to minister to you certain dimensions, you will have to hear the voice, come up here, come up here, come up. When you live at that plane, you are living a victorious Christian life. You are living beyond the shadows of darkness. You, no matter what they talk, no matter what they say that happens to people, in the same place, you'll be living as if Satan doesn't exist. Oh, 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 ha, 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 ha. Wise men, they cry, help us to pray. Baptize us with the spirit of prayer. Carry us to the depths. How many of you know that Jesus has resigned from earthly ministry and he went back to heaven? What is he doing? He's just doing intercession. The question you ask yourself is, what is this prayer? You know, they have defined prayer for you is beyond actually what they define for you. I've said it often and on. Prayer is an economy with which the kingdom of God runs on. In fact, the universe runs on priesthood. Are you with me? The universe runs on what? Priesthood. That even Satan understands that the universe is constructed in such a way that he begins to respond to the man that gives himself to priesthood. Are you with me? So the stronger priesthood rules. Now, your order of priesthood, irrespective, the more you give yourself to your priesthood, the more dominion you have. Meanwhile, the man that is born in Christ has a priesthood that is after the order of what? Melchizedek. It is an eternal order. The power of that priesthood is the life of God himself. Meanwhile, you will lack in the possibilities. You will be bereft of the power that can come from that priesthood when you don't give yourself to it. You see, a lesser priesthood will continue to rule over you until you begin to give yourself to the demands, to the sacrifices of this priesthood. Satan knows, God knows, that the man that gives himself more to priesthood begins to rule. The power of your throne is traced to priesthood. So I say it often and on that Jesus is as powerful in a territory as he's powerful in the heart of a believer. And a believer becomes powerful when he gives himself to priesthood. His altar begins to burn. And very soon it will affect his life. Very soon it will affect his family. Very soon it will affect his very surroundings. Are you getting the point now? So irrespective of the life that you have gotten inside of you, that life will not effulge to the extent that will begin to affect your territory and the things around you until you give yourself to priesthood. Many things that are written in the scripture will remain potent and just promises and facts until men begin to take it and labor on it until it becomes experiences that they work on. Are you with me? You become your lifestyle. It will become the things that form your existence upon the face of the earth. These are men of priesthood, men of the altars. They understand that the power they have upon the face of the earth is the power of their altar. The real power is found on altars. That is why your village priest is not in town. He doesn't have a very big building. He is in the woods. From the woods, he is controlling the civilization that is manifest in the cities. It is because he has a power-based altar. Do you know why the throne of God is in the highest? It's because there is an altar that powers that throne. It's also in the highest. Have you seen the configuration of the throne room? There is an altar in front. Before legislations take place and before utterances come out from the mouth of him that sits upon the throne, there are many businesses that need to take place on the altar. There are no new decrees, though. There are no new decrees until activities take place in the altar. God is not like you. You wake up in the morning and start talking. He is not like that. When God speaks, his word comes to pass. He has to take into account many things. Are you with me? So he begins to watch the businesses that is taking place to inform the decision that we take. God is not on your side as you think. How many of you say God is on our side? Have you heard that thing? God is not on your side. God is on the side of the man that gives himself to altar and priesthood. Yes. He is not as emotional in the way that you think. When you give yourself to priesthood, you don't need to beg God. The facilities of his throne room operations will begin to support your existence. Are you with me? When you give yourself to that, you will begin, all trances will come because of a man that gave himself to priesthood. For 8 months I stayed by my altar when I was doing you service. Every night I woke up, I cried to God. After 8 months, God spoke, and when he spoke, my life changed. That is when I realized that before God speaks, that the altar have to speak first. Then the one that sits on the throne will begin to speak. When the altar have not spoken, the throne won't speak. And when the throne has not spoken, there won't be new legislations. There won't be new marching orders. Men are not equipped to begin to engage the times and the seasons. The oppressions of the universe gain advantage in their territories, in their season, until the throne has spoken. But the altar is what gives the throne the voice to speak. The throne doesn't speak until it begins to take cognizance of the activities that is going on in the altar. You are not getting my point. My point is this: there are many interventions that we seek in the body of Christ in Nigeria. Meanwhile, our altar is weak. Those voices can never come until we penetrate in the spirit and gain into access into certain energy levels. That was the interpretation of that vision. When we generate it, let me show you from the scriptures. I want to show us something very fast that I titled The Four Witnesses of the Altar. Revelation chapter 8. The Four Witnesses of the Altar. You see, the witnesses of the altar are spiritual infrastructures that authenticate the activities that is in an altar. They validate and authenticate the altar. The witnesses of the altar are spiritual infrastructures that validate the authenticity and activities of an altar. They validate the authenticity and activities of the altar. You must have heard the teaching that we gave on the witness ministry of the kingdom. You see, you need to understand that there are many reasons for witness, both in heaven and on earth. One of them is that God is a spirit, and that means his principal operations are found in the spirit realm. So if there is any manifestation in this realm, you need to know that the realm of the spirit is a wilderness. And when you enter into that plane, there are many spirits that you encounter. Are you with me? Have you heard the scripture say, test all spirits? You can't use manifestation to know spirits. Are you with me? So the scripture began to talk. Jesus spoke about himself. He said that when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth. Are you with me? So it means that reality in the context of God can only be known when the spirit of God bears witness to it. Reality in the context of God can only be known when the Holy Spirit does what? Bears witness. That is what the scripture means. That when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth. So You see, your engagement in the kingdom for God is not yet reality in the context of God until we begin to see the hand of the Spirit on it. Are you with me? It is the hand of the Spirit that authenticates that activity as something that comes or is a fountain from God, so that we can open our heart and benefit from it. Without the witness of the Spirit coming upon it, it can be fake. You see, Satan can prophesy, Satan can see visions. How then do you know which is coming from God? Then there is a need for what? Say witness. So many men can speak the scripture. In fact, it's possible you are teaching Sunday school. I need to tell you, your Sunday school and your Bible study teaching, that you can know a lot of exegesis, doesn't mean that God is the one speaking. The only way we know that God speaks is when the hand of the Spirit comes what? Upon it. It is because the scripture said that holy men speak as they were what? Carried. So a man that is not carried is never speaking for God. So I used to teach Sunday school many years ago. Those days we teach, we are not taking cognizance of the fact of the oppressions of the Spirit. We are not bothered whether the Holy Spirit is resting upon it. We just taught men. And any letter preaching that is not powered by the Spirit is death on itself. Letter kill it, but the Spirit what? Giveth life. So the thing we seek in teachings and words that come representing what is coming from God is the Spirit content. It is the Spirit content that witnesses of where it is coming from. So when a man speaks for long, we check the Spirit content. Say Spirit content. That is the accurate measure of where it is coming from. If it is coming from God, then the Spirit has to what? Bear witness to it. And the Spirit bears witness to it in the measure that he has ministered himself into it. So when you hear those words, you will see that it's beyond the words. That sometimes you hear it, your heart burns. And that is even after the soulish realm. There is a place you come in, there is a light and illumination. Suddenly you will see that you are elevated to a different plane of oppression, simply because you heard a man speak. A man finished speaking and then you entered into the dream and started having encounters. So in other words, you can say the same thing I'm saying, but there is no Spirit in it. It is the Spirit in it that is the witness. That is why the scripture now came in the book of First John. He said that the Spirit no more beareth witness. The Spirit. Remind me. The Spirit of truth. And then he came to the book of First John. He said the Spirit is truth. Thank you. So at some point, before, I don't have time to show you the reason why. Because as of the time that Jesus made the first statement, there was not yet resurrection. Are you with me? And because there was not yet resurrection, the Spirit can be the reality. Are you with me? You are not with me. I like this, my man. He is not with me and he said it. As I've said here, there is what we call process in the kingdom. And the fundamental process is where matters are being converted to reality. I need you to know that God only deals with reality. The Spirit is reality. God is the realm of reality himself. Are you with me? So we can say many things. The one that God is interested in is reality. Before Jesus died, there are many things around him that is still humanity. In fact, men will try to touch his reality. They can't touch it because they are seeing him after the natural. Is it not true? That is why Paul came to a point. He said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Even who? Even who? Yes, even Jesus. That means that there were days that they knew him after the flesh. Men like John will come and boast and they will say, the authority of our ministry is that I leaned on the shoulder of Jesus. When real matters come, that is not a basis. That is nothing to accord you authority in the kingdom. Have you not heard men like Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11? He was speaking about the Passover. He said, that which I have received of the Lord. Meanwhile, he was never there when the Passover took place. How was he able to enter into that level of authority? The scripture said by revelation.
So by revelation, a man can enter into the reality of Christ and touch it and hold it. It will become a reality, an embodiment of his functional existence upon the face of the earth. Meanwhile, the man that sat with me physically never touched my essence. Are you now seeing it now? So, because of that, Jesus had many things to tell them, but he cannot. Jesus had many things to show them, but he cannot. In fact, many times they contested whether he is the Son of God. Many times they will have to ask, do you believe that I am the one? Do you believe that I am my Father? He is always trying to get them to see his reality. They saw him as just another prophet walking upon the face of the earth. What they didn't know is that that one is who? The Messiah. Until a time came, just for emphasis purposes, he took this man to the mountain. And when he prayed, the Bible says that the fashion of his countenance was what? Altered. Well, what they saw was that the man that ate with them and drank with them was the Son of God himself. Because his glory, his ambience was able to house the reality of Elijah and Moses. Anyway, they just saw from afar. They never participated. So you can be with Jesus and live with him after the natural. You can read the Bible after the natural. You can go to church after the natural. For 30 good years, you never touched the reality of the Christian life. The reality of the body of Christ. The reality of the scripture. The reality of the Holy Spirit. The reality of power. You didn't touch anything. What you had was just letters. And when reissues come, just like the season we are in, it has proven to us that the body of Christ is filled with men that didn't touch reality. Is it not true? When they touch reality in the days of the Acts of the Apostles, if they say somebody is about to die, they will say, let me be the first. In those days, if you are not a martyr, it will seem as if you died a death that is below par. It will seem as if God did you injustice. Every man is looking for where to die. These days, men save their life. In those days, they are looking for where to give it. It is a privilege for us to offer our blood and join it to the blood of the Son of God. It was Paul that testified. He said, I need to suffer in my body to supply that which is missing in the suffering of Christ. I used to think Jesus suffered everything until I heard the testimony of Paul that if ministry will reach you, me, I need to suffer. Have you not found out that sometimes we fast and pray and afflict our body simply because we need to be in a mode and a shape physically, solically, and in the spirit so that we'll be able to bring ministry to you? Have you not noticed? It is not because of ourselves. Just like Jesus, he said, because of you, I sanctify what? Myself. Now the question is, Jesus needed to interact with his disciples in such a way that they will touch only the reality in him. Only the reality that is him. Because all they have been encountering is after the natural. Such was the gravity of the issue that even these men worked in miracles. They healed the sick, did a lot of things. But when Jesus died, what did Peter say? He said, come, let's go back to fishing. That means whatever they did, they didn't what? Touch the reality. Before you can touch the realities, the spirit has to bear witness. If somebody with me, if you are with me, say amen. It is there that reality is found. That is why Jesus, after talking to them many times, he saw that they are not touching the reality. He said, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Lead you into reality. Meanwhile, as of that time, because Jesus have not died, the embodiments of his reality cannot be transferred yet to the spirit. Because it is the spirit, are you with me, that have the capacity to minister reality. But because Jesus is still dwelling in this flesh, that has not passed through the cross. It is the cross that moves everything from the natural plane to their reality. When you pass through the cross, the only thing that will remain is reality. Are you with me? That is why Jesus has to pass through the cross. When he passed through death, burial, and resurrection, when he resurrected, the scripture now testified in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, think verse 16. What did he say? He said, the Lord is what? That spirit. So the Lord is who? Jesus. He has been reduced to his reality. Where? In the spirit. So Anytime a man wants to touch Christ now, he can now touch him by the Spirit. So when Jesus died, we received him in our heart now. Not just the things they talk in our head. And the presence of Jesus in our heart is authenticated, is witnessed by the Spirit of God. Is it not true? He said our spirit and the Holy Spirit beareth witness that we are what?
You now get the point now.
So these things are realities that Jesus is carrying in his person. But they couldn't touch it, because the only way they could touch it is in the Spirit. So the Spirit have to bear witness to those realities. So it was when he died and passed through the process of death, burial and resurrection that he was reduced only to his reality. And all of that his reality was now installed in the Spirit. The scripture now testified that the Lord is what? That Spirit. It is from then that it is no more the Spirit leading you to reality. It's now the Spirit has now become the reality, because the Lord is now what? So anytime you touch the Holy Ghost, he will be able to minister to you a component part of the reality that is Christ. So there are days you touch Christ, the power. It is still the Holy Ghost that ministered it. Is it not true? Some days you touch Christ, the wisdom. Is it not true? Sometimes you touch Christ, the comfort. Sometimes you touch Christ, the might. Is it not true? Sometimes. We can touch many things. It's a vast island. It's an experience we will never finish until Christ is fully formed in us. That is why we come to bed packs. How did I reach here? This young man diverted me with his hunger, my God. How did I enter here? Okay, I wanted to show you that for you to accredit a matter, for you to say something is authentic, there must be witness. Is it not true? Goslov, you sell some chargers, right? And some of them, for you to know whether some phones and chargers are original, you have to bring the barcode and put. Is it not true? What are you trying to check? When you bring barcode and put it near your phone and put it near scanning and put it near barcode, what are you trying to check? Whether it's what? So you are now seeing it. In the kingdom, we are not permitted to touch anything that is not authentic. So if it is true, you must understand the paramount place of witness. That is why Jesus told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. It is then that you begin to know how to authenticate, how which is which in the kingdom. You don't know yet until the Spirit begins to litter and walk everywhere. Are you with me now? So when witness comes, it points to a thing. Witness is not the thing itself. Are you with me? Take for example the witness of the Spirit. Remember the scripture said, when he comes, he will not talk about himself. He will take of me and what? So when the Spirit comes to witness Christ, what is his purpose? What is his target? To what? Bring that which is Christ and show you. So when a witness comes, the witness is not the end in itself. The witness points us towards something. There are four principal witnesses of the altar. That is what I'm trying to tell you. That this witness of the altar, when we begin to have it around us, have it in the territory, have it in the church, it begins to point to us to certain things, that we have a power-based altar in heaven that is bringing a response from the throne of God. When we don't see those witnesses, we will know that what we thought we are doing, we are not doing anything. Because throughout the scripture, you will see a chain reference of altars that had voices. At least one of those witnesses was present. There is no altar that had power to control things in life and in the territory that didn't have at least one of these witnesses. You can easily know a potent altar by the presence of this. Are you getting the point? So when you begin to see these things manifest in your life, you will now know that your altar has become potent.
it can now touch some things. Revelations. Let me show you. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. Somebody read for me.
Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Mm-hmm. And another angel came and stood at the altar."
Now, are you with me now? Follow the progression. There is a location where these activities is taking place. Where? Say the altar. Okay, continue.
"Having a golden censer." Mm-hmm. "And there was given unto him much incense."
Wait, let's analyze this. You see, the key word here is not incense. What's the key word? Huh? Much. The key word here is much. You see, some people, it's not as if they are not generating some things, some incense, some things are not happening, but there is not what? Much incense. There is not much incense. I need to, you know, people don't, when we say this, they don't understand. There are measures, there are reactions that we seek from God, that the measure of incense we are bringing, the measure of incense, our sacrifices, our engagement is getting, is not much. It cannot bring the response that we seek. So when you need much incense, what do you do? You get much sacrifice, you get much activity in your altar, you get much priesthood. What do you want? Say much incense. So meanwhile, the reaction you are seeking, you are, some people come to a point, they are asking God, "Why me?" Meanwhile, they have failed to understand that the things that they seek takes what? Say much incense. Really much incense. And I need to explain to you. Who is a lawyer here? Have you been to a court session? Who has been to a court session before? So when you come to a court session, there are many things you will notice, that there is a judge. Huh? In this case now, God is not sitting as a father. I know people say, for you to even pray at all in the new covenant, you must see God as your father. That one is established. Are you with me? But when you begin to mature as sons are the ones that take responsibility. They are not just coming, when you just base your relationship with God as the father and the type of prayer they pray it, that prayer is very, very powerful when you are just receiving from God. You want to receive car, you want to receive healing, you want to receive this and that and that. That means the basis of your prayer has to be on the fatherhood of God. But if you want to take responsibility as a son on behalf of God, then you must understand these things I'm saying. You must understand that the day that God begins to sit, he sits as a judge. And he begins to mete to men according to how much they are able to take the infrastructure of priesthood serious. And then they generate much incense. The response and the power that those men have is based on the activities that is going on as it pertains to priesthood. So, you see, if God doesn't do it on this basis, then he's partial. Are you with me? So, it is because of this. It's because there is court. When you hear court sessions, it means that there must be justice somewhere. Is it not true? It is because God is a God of justice and intends that there is no man that seeks justice of him that will not get it. That most times he sits as a judge and then he begins to adjudicate on matters. So you need much incense. Are you with me? What I'm trying to say is that your argument in the court of heaven is not by too much words. Your argument is based on much incense. Your much incense makes argument for you. It is not your word. Are you with me? Have you noticed that there are sacrifices that have voices? Sacrifices are components of incenses that rise up. There are two men that are contesting for local government in Shama. And one is a born-again believer. Another one is an occultic man. The occultic man went and used 500,000 to do sacrifices. The believer came and said, "Jesus, please do it for me. You have done it. You say we will rule. See, after me, you say we will rule our enemies." They were even collecting the what is it called? Primary election. He is losing. Meanwhile, Jesus is there. It was when he went and met a man of God. People like us that understand the structures of court sessions in heaven and understand that this thing is not about whether Jesus wants to do it or not. He has done it. It's just that you need to take what he has done and enforce it. You need to bring strong reasons. Say strong reasons. And your strong reason can come in many forms. If you understand how the structure of that court session works, sometimes it is prayer, sometimes it requires some sacrifices. Sometimes God will be telling you to win souls. You will not understand the reason why he's telling you to win souls. You will not understand that in your family they use 10 human heads to bury your ancestors. Are you with me? Then when you began to pray, Jesus delivered you and wanted to make the deliverance manifest in the realm of the physical. Meanwhile, those blood are crying. Now, they are not crying to stop you from experiencing the things that is in Christ. They are crying to stop you from experiencing the things that is yours in the natural. And God is a just God. He is such a just God that he gives food to the unbeliever. Have you not noticed? So just simply because you are born again, God will not mistreat a Muslim. Simply because you are born again, he won't give them food. It's not true. He will give them food because he's still the God of all flesh. Are you getting the point now? So you need to come to a place where you understand the justice system of God. That before God begins to deal with you in favor, especially concerning things that are standing upon universal laws. Are you getting the point? Then you have to understand the structures. So God will be telling you to win souls. As you are winning souls, you are standing as an intercessor for your whole family. Meanwhile, he doesn't need to explain to you what you are doing. Are you getting the point now? But as you are winning soul, one soul, I'm just assuming, is not written somewhere in the script. I know some people listen. As you are winning souls, it is atoning for one man that was killed. Not to make you to deserve anything that Christ has already purchased, but for you to experience the freedom that is yours. For you to be able to bring the justice that you are supposed to bring in your family. Are you getting it? In Christ, you don't have any restriction. But on earth, there are bloods of men that are shed on the ground that still speaks for justice. Are you with me? So God will begin to teach you the ways of the kingdom to begin to neutralize those things. You don't need to go and kill another person. God understands that. I don't know how God does it, but there are things that he has factored in the kingdom as per his wisdom that men cannot understand. For example, the cross is foolishness. I hope you know. If it was not because Jesus has died, if they tell you that if you hang on the cross, that is enough to save the whole world, you won't believe it. Many people, even in the body of Christ, will be doubting. What is in a cross? All you need to do is to pray. God will save you. All you need to do is to what? Pray. God will save you. Just apply the name of Jesus another. But God understands. He is a judge of the whole world. Such that even as you are born again, Satan can still bring accusation to you. If he doesn't have power, he won't bring it. Sometimes there are things you do and you feel guilty even as a believer. Is it not true? Why are you feeling guilty if he doesn't have potency? When you feel that guilt, you have to go to the archives, because is you are brought to a court session and you check which of the things in the infrastructures we deal with this. And you now find the blood. The blood that speaks what? Better things. But there are issues surrounding our lives specifically. Say specifically. That the structures, what it takes to neutralize, is not specifically written in the scriptures. So when you begin to pray about it generally, you begin to use the blood of Jesus, you begin to use the exemption that is found in the kingdom as a result of the fact that you are now born in Christ, you say, God, we say, yeah, you have accomplished the general requirement. He will now tell you, you are now in Christ. Just be winning souls for me. Now, he doesn't need to tell you, because he begins to tell you, a man that is not deep in God will not understand these matters and can even go and build doctrines on it. And say that when people die in your family, begin to win souls, if we neutralize it, you are wrong. Because this is not on a doctrinal basis, it's on the basis of reality. And God has found out that what it takes to neutralize the impact of what has happened is simply for you to win souls. Meanwhile, it is not something you go and build doctrine around. Are you getting the point now? So God can look at a situation and say, bless water and deal with it. It is not something you go and build doctrine around. But can you come and say that water will not serve in that circumstance? As long as God said use it, it has become the instrument of deliverance, as long as God is concerned. Have you gotten where I'm going now? So when a man doesn't understand this, that there are cost sessions and God will forever be just, even if it's you, dog. Even if you are a believer, and imagine a believer fornicating, and then you fornicated, and it so happens that the lady now got pregnant, and then she aborted it. I hope you know abortion is murder. There is a remedy for you in the kingdom, but the remedy is deliberate. Say deliberate. It is not something you do and speak in tongues. No. There is deliberate process to pass through it. Part of the reason why the process is deliberate is so that you won't go back to it. So if God passes you through a deliberate process, you won't go back to it. It will rescue your soul from that thing that plagued you. So the man of God comes back and starts preaching on the pulpit and say all of them are covered. Covered in what? Covered in what now? The day Satan will find you doing business in heavenly places, he will deal with you, and is nothing compared to what you are losing in the spirit for being that careless. So when we meet those people, we lead them through deliberate process of reconciliation, repentance, renunciation. And sometimes God will have to place a demand on you. I know some people will say this is not. It's not. Are you getting the point? Let me not go there. Now, the point I'm saying is that when you come to the altar in heaven, there are witnesses to it to authenticate the fact that serious business is going there. And from the altar, when activities go on and things are being brought to support the activities around the altar, one of the major things that need to be there is so much incense. I'm not hearing you. Say much incense. Doris, you have incense, but the demand is what? Much. Elijah, you have incense, but when that demonized girl stood before you and slapped you, dealt with you, you now knew that the name of Jesus is powerful, doesn't mean it's powerful in your life. They have not slapped you. Don't worry, I will carry you to deliver a mad person. Now, you can, if you know where you are standing. If you know the basis of your relationship with God. But if Satan has punctured one or two things, one of the worst things to do is to cast devils, because they will really show you where you are standing with God. If you want to know how you are standing with God, be casting devil. If you are correct, you will be having 100% results. devils, they don't have middle point. It's either you are there or you are. If you are not there, they will show you. When you want to cast, they will look at you and say, even you. What did they even tell you that day? They will say, even you. Try it. Meanwhile, a young believer born again today that knows where she is standing can deal with Satan. There are many things you have incorporated in your life that is not part of the basis of removing a demon. And Satan knows. Continue reading for me.
That he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne.
Where is the golden altar? I didn't hear you. Where is the golden altar?
Of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints.
In the next 15 minutes, give me volume. Let's
ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar.
Now I need to explain to you what is happening. Prayers are coming in, activities are going on. Now remember where we started. There was 30 minutes what? Silence. In those period, there is not. I said nothing happens in heaven until we initiate the process on earth. Are you getting the point now? Have you read the book of? Is it not Matthew chapter 16, verse 16? Am I right? That whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth is what? What does it mean? We are these people that go to deliver. What does he mean? What does he mean? The truth is that thing has nothing to do with binding Satan. But you have been binding Satan now. That scripture, whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. I bind you, Satan. I bind you. You have not noticed. Satan is still working now. That is not what the scripture is saying. That scripture is trying to elaborate. It's an exposition on the authority of the church. Are you with me? When the church gives herself to her prayer ministry, this is the authority we begin to gain in the courts of heaven. Are you getting the point? It's trying to tell us that there is a limitless power such that the activities that go on in heaven is controlled, is directly proportional to the activity that is going on in the church. Are you getting the point? So when you notice that there is no intervention that we see in Nigeria, that there is no intervention that we see in our society, that there is no intervention we see in the world, in your family, where is the problem coming from? Because in heaven there is silence. They are waiting. Are you with me? They are waiting for activities around the altar. Whatsoever you bind on earth is what? It means that the initiative is taken on earth, and it then begins to affect the activities that is taking place in the heavens. If you know this, what is the power of the church?
So when you begin to understand these things, you will now know why Satan is doing everything possible to cage the church. Because the operations of God as far as the universe, especially the earth realm, is involved, is dependent on what is happening in the church. So if nothing is happening in the church, God cannot work. As I told you people, that what is the eternal purpose of the Godhead? The eternal purpose of the Godhead is to get a corporate expression of themselves, such that via that organ, they will manifest the fullness of their wisdom from time to eternity. The book of Ephesians told us. Are you with me? And the church has become that corporate expression of the heavenly man. So anything God intends to do since the day the church was born, he has to do it through the church. The limitations of God upon the face of the earth is the limitations of the church. So the church will prosper. God prospers as much as the church is prospering. Are you getting the point? So when we don't give ourselves, what we don't do, that is why when Satan wants to hurt God, he can't hurt God. What he does is to hurt the church. Because he knows that in hurting the church, he has hurt God and has hurt God's agenda. Are you getting the point now? If you are with me, say amen. Amen. So that is why the heavenlies, they stay like this and they are waiting for your activities. Kenneth Hagin said he had an encounter with Jesus. And when he stood with Jesus, a demon now appeared in front of them. When the demon appeared in front of them, he was raising smoke. Raising smoke, and suddenly he was no more hearing Jesus. Does that sound like what is happening in the body of Christ? We have come to a point where the voice of God is scarce. Many men say many things and say that's what God is saying. But the resultant effect has proved that God is not saying it. If God said, do you know what it means for God to speak? And God said, let there be light. There is no darkness. There is no darkness that can stand that decree. If only God can what? Speak. But men come and say God said. And it has become obvious by manifestation that God never said. If it was true that God said, then the evidences will prove it. There are witnesses to that fact. Are you getting the point now? So, when we come here, we now understand that something is missing in the jigsaw. That we have come to that season where Satan has done so much that we have lost touch with the reality of the person of Jesus. And then we are dull in hearing. We are no more able to hear his speakings, his instructions. And when the instructions of God is not coming, when his voice is not known, then there are no marching orders. Marching orders are based on the instructions that is coming out from Zion. Are you with me? It is the information that we get from Zion that informs the action that we begin to take. So, men don't take action in Zion until they hear voices, echoes. So, it so happened that Jesus was waiting for Kenneth Hagin. He didn't do anything. Suddenly, Kenneth Hagin now rebuked the spirit, and the spirit fell and then ran away. And then he began to hear Jesus again. He now asked Jesus, you are Jesus now? Why didn't you do anything about it? Have you not asked that sort of question? I'm going to church now. Why is this thing happening to me? How many of you have asked that prayer? I'm fasting now. Why is this thing still happening to me? I'm praying. I'm sowing seed now. Why is my finances still like this? What you don't know is that there are powers that has held you back. And every authority it takes to break you through is given to you. What it means is that you have not engaged in priesthood long enough to generate the energy that will release the voice of God when it thunders upon the oceans. Then powers will bow. When it thunders, the rocks will begin to melt. One of the greatest things Satan fights is the voice of God, so that the voice will not echo. Because when it sounds, many things will begin to realign. To make sure that word comes to pass. Every single thing upon the universe becomes subject to the content of God's decree. Are you getting the point? Every single thing in the universe is subject to the content of the decree of God. In fact, God even said that even him is subject to it. Have you not read it in the scripture? That he has submitted all his names under his word.
it was then that Jesus began to tell him that the power you are expecting me to exercise, I gave to you. The power we are expecting God to exercise, he gave to the church. So whenever God comes, the problem is not from heaven. The problem is from earth. There are angels that have not visited the face of the earth. They are waiting to visit. The problem is that men have not generated the ambience that can trap their possibilities. Are you getting the point? There are angels that will set foot on this land and everything will shake. You are not even getting my point. Have you heard of the camp of the Assyrians? The scripture spoke about one angel. That angel landed and holding that 72,000 soldiers were killed in one angel. One angel. Imagine if seven of them land in this nation. They don't appear anyhow. They appear on basis of covenant and protracted activities upon altars. Men that have altars littered on their path. The church has lost their way and they are doing many things except doing the business of the altar. They have not given themselves to priesthood long enough to bring down the hand of God, the intervention that we seek. They cry out to God, but their heart is far away. Whatsoever you want on earth is what? So that means that the possibilities which is of God, the possibilities of who? Is not you. The possibilities of who? These are the possibilities given to heaven, given to God, but you will never experience them except you begin to give yourself to certain activities. Are you getting the point? The extent to which you give yourself to these activities, we determine how much heaven will intervene. So when it seems as if the hand of heaven is restrained, that means we have not given ourselves to priesthood. Are you with me? And priesthood is not just about praying. As a matter of fact, real priesthood is about a being first before an activity. Are you with me? That is why the reason why the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek is the ultimate priesthood is because of the order, the identity of that priesthood. Are you getting the point now? The identity. There are many things about priesthood. The garment of the priest. So a man that is not living righteously upon the face of the earth is praying 10 hours and fasting and expecting God to intervene. No, you have neutralized the power of your altar. You have made it weak by the life that you are living. The potency thereof has been zapped out. And then we pray for long in the body of Christ, but we collect bribe. Have you not noticed that the most corrupt people, their name is not the Ishmaeler. Their name is Jacob and Joseph. Some of them, their name is Paul and James and John. The most corrupt men in this nation. The most corrupt people, some of them, their name is not Satan's will. Their name is God's will. The most corrupt people. And we come to church and we now pray. Jesus is not there. Jesus is a just God. And these principalities, territorial beings that operate in heavenly places, the Bible calls them powers and dominions. They are not interested in persons. They are interested in territories. They give it for their master. They can give you anything. They will give you money and take your soul. They have given the church money and they have taken the power of their altars. The very thing that evokes their power from the throne of God, the eternal dimensions of the great one, it has been taken away because men have lived a life that we can't find Jesus in it. Their righteous nature and their heritage that is coming from Zion has been robbed. They live like the unbelievers and they expect God to land in his justice. They expect God to stretch forth his hands of intervention. No, we need to find again the path of righteousness, the path of sanctification, the path that no foul knoweth. Thank you.
We need the spirit of prayer so that we will be able to generate much incense. If 5 righteous men can pray, what can they do? Abraham asked, he said, if we can find 50 righteous men. We have noticed that the majority of the body of Christ have eaten the meat of Nebuchadnezzar. The meat that is soiled, they have eaten it. They have lost their voice and lost their consecration. Their altar is weak. Their voice is not heard in the heavenly places. They cannot generate the incense. The activities and business around their altar is not strong enough to bring intervention from the throne of God. Oh, oh. Ha, ha. There is no restriction to God to win with many or to win with few. If a handful of us will live righteously and pray fervently, then God, even God, will come down. He will come down with fire. He will come down in thunder. He will come down in an earthquake. His voice will roar, and the cedars of Lebanon will break to pieces. In Jesus' name. Let me show you something and then we pray. Maybe tomorrow I will do an analysis of those witnesses of the altar. Verse 5 said, and the angel took the incense and filled it with fire of fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were what? Number one. And what? You see, there is nothing new, as I said, God will do, except there is a thundering of a voice. Are you with me? Meanwhile, this kind of voice is the voice that comes to usher in a new regime of oppression. It is like a holy decree. This type of voice is not a normal voice, it's a holy decree. And it carries in it all the components of instructions. Encoded in it is the resources that we need to prosecute the season. Are you with me? When this type of voice utter from heaven, then every angel that need to respond to that type of call is a sound from the spirit. When the voice sounds from the spirit, then anything, the host of heaven, are you with me, that needs to back up our oppression in this season, they will appear. Are you with me? There are angels that are sitting at the north pole of this earth. They have not moved an inch for the last 1,000 years. Their ministry is held up to a certain level of incense. All they need is, are you with me? There are angels that are held up in the territory of Nigeria, held up in the Atlantic Ocean. Are you with me? They are held up in the Niger area. You are not getting the point. There are angels that are held up in the River Niger. They are there to make sure that the integrity of the riverine areas, the integrity of the borderline of the river is held. They are there. They sat on the river. Have you not read about it? That there is an angel that sat upon the third part of the waters. There are incense that we generate. The scriptures talk about the thunderings. These are activities of heavenly constellations. There are incense that we begin to make the activities of heavenly consolation to begin to intervene in the affairs of men. Have you not heard it? That when Noah came out of the boat, that he began to offer sacrifices upon the altar, offer sacrifices, and then a bow appeared in heaven. It was the rainbow. And God swore to him, he said, as long as this earth remaineth, that this wall will remain a sign of my covenant with you.
Oh, oh, the seasons are upon us again. The seasons are here. When righteous men will pray,
and there will be witnesses authenticating the business that they do upon their altars.
When Jesus finished his business for 30 years, he served, he stood under obedience, he stood and lived righteously. He gave himself to the facilities that will make him into the man that can stand for God. When he stood at the river of Jordan, a voice came from heaven, a voice, an utterance from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And for many seasons, he stood under that wall. And then another utterance came from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved son." In this time around, he said, "Hear ye him." On that day, he became the voice. Every other man that spoke became irrelevant. And Moses and Elijah appeared to him on the mountain, and their ministry was summarized and handed over to him. The Bible now said in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, that God, who has sundry times spoke to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his son Christ Jesus. From that day, by a holy decree, he became the one that only speaks to us. Every voice became irrelevant because of that holy decree. Oh God, in this season, because of the business that is being done on the altar, we ask you for the witness of the voice that thunders in territories, the voice that thunders, and the cedars of Lebanon will begin to break, Father, and the mountains will begin to skip like rams. The voice of God. The business of priesthood until witnesses begins to come from heaven to authenticate our activities, to validate our engagements. The Bible says that when the disciples, they went back to their own company, and they said and cried to God. He said, "Behold their threatenings. Oh God, behold their threatenings." He said, "It is against the Holy Son Jesus that Herod and these people has risen." He said, "That by the stretch in front of thy hand, God, so God, the mighty signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy child Jesus." And the scripture testifies that as they prayed, the house shook. There were thunder everywhere. There was earthquake. The witness to their prayer, the witness to the business of the altar that they did in that place was an earthquake. The room shook. Validate our business, oh God. Authenticate, oh God. Oh, 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 ah, 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 hey. Hey, hey, hey.
the business of our priesthood. Validate the activities of our altar. Takai bele sola, brede beta sombarata. The next 5 minutes, let there be earthquake, let there be earthquake, let there be earthquake, let there be earthquake, let the gates of the prison be shaken, let the gates of the prison be shaken, let the chains be loosed from the shackles of the one that bound her, let men be loosed from the shackles of the things that bound them. The earthquake sounds in the territories as a witness to the business of our priesthood. Witness our altar, O God, with earthquakes we ask you, with the thunderings of your voice, with the thunderings of your voice. Witness, O God, witness, 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 O God, witness, witness, O God. Witness, witness, witness in the territory, in the nation, witness in our families, witness, witness, oh God, bring your witness in thunderings, bring your witness, oh God, bring your witness in earthquake. Let the things that can be shaken be shaken, let only the things that are true remain. Shake, oh God, the shakeables, shake, oh God, let your earthquake root out the things that have been founded by wickedness in the foundations of the earth, in the foundations of our nation, in the foundations of our territory, in the foundations of our family, in the foundations of our life, in the foundations of our of the thought. Root out, oh God, the earthquake as a witness, my God, my God. an earthquake, God will thunder from your altar.
If you are sick in your body, I rebuke that sickness now in the name of Jesus. Whether you are with me online or present here, I rebuke that sickness. I rebuke that sickness. I rebuke that sickness. I rebuke that sickness. Somebody is having migraine. Migraine. Headache. That thing leaves now in the name of Jesus. There is somebody that is having arthritis. It is not too obvious. It is on your left leg. The thing is biting you more like around your thigh region. Around your thigh region on your left leg. I rebuke that arthritis now in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke that arthritis now in the name of Jesus. And I decree everyone free from every infirmity. I release you from every consequence of your spiritual engagement. Any demon that tried to disturb you as a result of the business that you are doing, I the Lord rebuke that devil. The Lord rebuke that demon now. The Lord rebuke that spirit now. In the name of Jesus, you are free to operate, my friend. In Jesus' mighty name. Tomorrow we meet again by 5 p.m. We'll have our 24 hours. Jesus, I think you need to clap. We'll start 12 p.m. on Friday, 28 August. and end 12 p.m. on Saturday, 29th August. Get set. It will be brutal. Oh. Men will turn to spirit. Oh. Ladies will turn to fire. Oh. Ah. In Jesus' name. Come and cast your offering, see, tithe. You are blessed in Jesus' mighty name.